Hey everyone, this is Matt Hanks from Seymour Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to this message. My hope is through this message you are able to grow closer to Christ. Thanks for listening. So the book of Psalms is first, so that you guys are aware of what this this book is compiled of. It's a bunch of songs and poetry that many different authors, the largest one being David, but very many different authors that they put together. And a lot of it is based off of emotion. What the life that people are living in those moments and the praise that they give to God. Now, if you read through all of the Psalms, you're going to see that basically the emotional wheel is expressed in the Psalms. And this is good. This is a representation of what emotions that we go through, and we see that people felt comfortable enough to share that with God, to praise God, to be frustrated, to mourn, to grieve. And I believe that this is good for us as believers in Christ, that we can bring all that we are. We don't have to bring just our joy and our happiness and just praise God. All those things are great and we should do those, but we can also bring our grief, that we can bring our mourning, we can bring our frustrations and our anger, and we can give that to the Lord as well. And yet in response, still praise God, right? That is still the response that we have, is that even when we are going through something that is frustrating, even when we're going through something and we don't know why it's happening, that the end result still leads to praise, that it still leads to glorifying God and recognizing who He is. And so today we're going to be reading Psalm 24. So we're just going to jump in. So it's going to be up on the screen and we'll read it from there. You can also read it in your Bible. It says this: "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek You and worship in Your presence, O God of Jacob." Now, I'll pause for just a second because that's exactly what it's having me do here. You see the word interlude? How many of you guys are musicians? Raise your hand higher so everybody can kind of look around and see. That's what that means. Interlude is kind of like this pause, this break, all right? A lot of times it's filled with music, right? But this is just it's a moment of pausing. So you're not continuing on, but you're able to reflect on what has been said. You're able to look back and see that this is they're trying to take a moment. And this is a combined part of what they're wanting you to see. And then after a moment of pausing, continuing on. So then we go to verse 6. "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, invincible in battle. "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter." Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. And then it finishes again with another interlude. According to this psalm, who belongs to God on what belongs to God on earth? You guys are all like mouthing it.
Us?
Yeah, us. What is also, what is more than us?
Everything,
all, right? So we can go to that first verse and it answers it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So it's the earth, but not just the earth itself. It's everything that is in the earth is the Lord's. The world and all its people belong to Him. Everything belongs to Him. So everything is God's. He made it. This to me sounds a little bit of the recalling back to creation, all right? That they would have understood that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. this is Genesis 1. This is the Genesis 1, the creation story would be coming to their minds. So a lot of times in scripture, they don't have to say everything for people to understand what they're talking about. In the gospel, Jesus would say certain things and people would exactly know what he is saying because they knew their Old Testament. They knew the word of God. And so we have to do some research sometimes because maybe we don't have the Old Testament memorized or the old scriptures memorized, but these people would have grown up knowing the word, especially when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these other political and government figures. They would have known exactly what he was referencing. And, you know, one of the clearest examples that we know of this with Jesus is when he was on the cross. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, does he actually believe that? No, he doesn't. But he's reminding the people of Psalm 22. And it starts that way. My God, why have you forsaken me? But it ends in praise. But yet I will still praise you. It's this recall for the people. They immediately would have thought back to what King David had written. All right. And so this is a recalling for us to look back and see that in creation, God created. He used his voice and he created, and everything in it belongs to him. It is not ours. He gives it to us as a gift to go and to work and to go and to make new things. But everything in it is his because he made it. Psalm 24 specifically says that the world and its people belong to God. And that means that each one of us and everything we own, everything that we have, think about everything you have at your house that you would say, this is mine. It truly actually belongs to God. He knows everything about us and knows what exactly is best for us. And when we are in a right relationship with God, we will be pure. We will not worship idols and we will not lie. But is that possible without Jesus? No, none of that is possible unless we have Jesus. He is the only thing that can make us right with God. He is the only person that can make us right with God. We can't do it on our own. In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals. They'd have specific sacrifices and the way that they would have to do it, and they'd give it to a priest, and the priest would do it for them, and it had to be a specific way with a specific animal for a specific thing, and it'd only cover it for a little bit, right? But all of that was taken care of. All of that was washed away when Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, not just for one person, but for all people, past, present, future, he was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. Only he can make it right. What makes us right with God is what we believe about Jesus. If we believe that Jesus is the perfect Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later to pay the penalty for our sins, for your sins and for mine, then we will be right with God. We will be right with him when we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And if we really do believe that, then what this psalm talks about is going to happen. That we will be pure. That we will not worship idols. We will only worship God. And we will not lie. The psalm mentions also some of the ways that we will be obedient, specifically having pure hands and hearts. But we decide to be pure, not worship idols, and not lie because of Jesus. And not lie because of Jesus' gift, not to earn it. So we can't work to earn Jesus' gift. He freely gave. That's why it is a gift, right? It's good to work hard to receive something. That is not a bad thing. I don't know if your parents have had you work for something before, right? But sometimes you have to work for some things that you want, right? But usually it's because it's something that you want. This was a free gift given to you, not because of anything you ever did or will ever do, but because he freely gave. We don't have to do anything to get it. We don't even deserve it, and yet he gave it to us. And so we have then an opportunity to be pure, to have pure hands and hearts, to not worship idols because of his gift, because we want to, because he gave it, not because we have to earn it. Because nothing that we could ever do on our own would ever give us that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I want to ask you guys, what are some of the names of God given in this psalm? We're going to go through them, okay? But based off of your memory from when we read it, or if you have the Bible right in front of you, what are some of the names that are specifically in this psalm itself? Okay, so there's a lot of names for God. We know that. But let's look specifically at the psalm. Aaliyah. Lord. What else?
Savior.
King of glory. Huh? It's Holy Spirit is a name of God, but it's not in here. What else we got? God of Jacob. Yeah, that's a big one. King of glory. King of Kings isn't in this one, but that is true. I mean, that is a name of God, that he is the King of Kings. So you guys aren't wrong. I don't want you to feel that you're wrong in this situation. That's not true. It's just that in this specific psalm, that isn't one. What was it?
Lord strong and mighty.
Lord strong and mighty. Yeah, so let's go through them. So the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we got Lord. We got Lord again. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. So Savior, God, those are also names that he goes by. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. King of glory. And we see King of glory a lot. We see King of glory multiple times. We see Lord multiple times. We see that when this person is writing this song, when they're singing praises to him, they say his name over and over and over again. Not because it makes God happy to hear his name all the time, although it probably does, but this is praise, right? This person is writing a psalm of praise to their God, and they can't help but just continue saying his name. King of glory, Lord, Savior, God of Jacob. I mean, even this one, Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord of heaven's armies, right? No battle will take over the Lord, because he is the Lord, he is the King of heaven's armies. So what are also some characteristics then of God that are listed in this psalm? Some characteristics.
Strong and mighty.
Glory? That's a name. That what? He's a king, yeah. What else?
Powerful.
There was another one that specifically mentions about a battle. What about the battle? He's mighty, yeah. Yeah. He's also invincible, right? Invincible. The psalm reminds us that God is the creator of all things and that all things belong to him. It helps us remember that he really is the King of glory, the one who deserves all of our attention, all of our praise, and all of our worship. And here's what I really want us to understand from Psalm 24, all right? We worship God because he holds all things together. If all things are his, and they all belong to him, you, right? You belong to him. The things that we say that we have belongs to him. This church, it belongs to him. This community, it belongs to him. This nation, this country, everything belongs to him. Then this is true. He holds all things together. Even when it feels like everything is falling apart, he is the one that is holding it together. All right? He is the one from the bigness, which is not really a word, but from this, the idea of the universe, think about space for a second, all right? How many of you guys have ever wanted to be an astronaut? Never? Nobody? Okay, maybe a couple, right? But this idea of space, we don't really know a whole lot of space, about space, right? There's certain things that we do know about, but there's not a whole lot. We don't know a whole lot about this universe. They may say that we do. I don't think we actually do. But then now think about the ocean. How many of you guys ever wanted to be a marine biologist? Oh, you actually got somebody. Okay. What about like ever being like a submarine? Anybody ever want to be in a submarine before? Yeah, no. Small spaces. But think about the depths of the ocean. They say that we know more about space than we know about the ocean, which I think is crazy. But maybe it's true. All right. But think about those two things, the vastness of those two things, that they are this expanse that we really know nothing. I mean, just a small fraction of what we actually think we know, right? Something so big. God is over that. God created it. He knows. He knows it all because he put it there. And then think about our daily lives, right? Waking up in the morning, choosing what to wear, then brushing our teeth, choosing what to eat for breakfast. All of the choices that we make in the day, God is over that too. He is over the big. He is over the small, right? He is over it all because he holds all things together. Worshiping God isn't a one-time event that we do in our lives. It's not this climactic moment where we're like, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. We get baptized and that's it. That's just the beginning. We are thankful and we praise God for those moments because they are massive. It is a life changed. But that is truly just the beginning. That is just the beginning. It's supposed to be an every single day reality for us that when we close our eyes and we sleep and we wake up the next day, it begins again that we take up our cross daily and die to ourselves and follow Jesus. It's a decision we have to make always. This psalm teaches us that God is the King of glory and that he truly is. God is powerful. He reigns over all things. He holds all of creation together, and everything is dependent on him. Not on you, not on me, on him. The truth is present all throughout the book of Psalms, not just in Psalm 24. And it's even beyond the book of Psalms. It's true in all of his word that everything is dependent on him, that he is who he says he is. The book of Psalms is a great book to read because it gives us this example of people having these big emotions, emotions that we often feel, and how they express those feelings and those thoughts in a, really in a way that is respectful and God-honoring, but also in a true way that we can read these Psalms and say, hey, I have felt this before, and I've felt that I haven't been able to give that to the Lord, but yet I see it right here. How can I do that myself? And that's why I want to challenge you guys to begin to do a prayer journal. I think that's something that I struggle with, to be honest. It's something that I've wrestled with, is writing down my prayers. Because to me, it sometimes feels like it's a little bit of a, like, oh, I don't want to hold on to this. I don't want somebody else to get this. I become fearful a little bit of that. But I think that's exactly why I need to do it. So I'm not just challenging you guys. I am challenging myself. I'm having you guys hold me accountable to writing a prayer journal. Not one that I'm going to be like, hey, this is what I prayed about this week. These are some things that I've been wrestling with, right? Because that is a personal thing. But my challenge for all of us in this room is to have a prayer journal. Because that's what the book of Psalms really is. It's a prayer opportunity. It's written prayers, written praises. It doesn't have to be, dear Lord, I had a great day today. It can be that, but it can also be, God, you are good. And God, I thank you for what I have in my life. You deserve all the praise, right? It can be whatever you need it to be, whatever prayer you're going through. And I'll tell you what, I know of people who have done prayer journals, and they've kept them throughout a long period of time. And they've been able to go back and see what they prayed for 3, 6, 9 months, a year. previously and see how God has moved and see how their prayers have changed and see what God has answered. Maybe sometimes even how God is still answering a prayer that they prayed a long time ago. And it's a cool way to interact in how God is moving in your life and how he is present, how he is there and holding it all together. And so that's my challenge for all of us. Again, not just for you guys, but for me. And if you don't, that's okay. No one's going to put you down for not doing it. If that's not something you're comfortable with, it's okay. But that's why it's a challenge. Step outside of your comfort zone. Even if it's, hey, I'm going to do this for a week. Just a week. That's all I'm going to give it. I'm going to try it, but if it's not my jam after a week, that's okay. But maybe you'll actually see some growth in that. You'll see how your prayers have even changed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, how good you are. Lord, that you hold all things together in your hands, God. And we get an opportunity to read your word. God, we get an opportunity to live out your word, Lord, that we get to praise you with our lives. Lord, I pray that as we go into our small groups that we would acknowledge how even when things are difficult, even when things are frustrating, even when things feel like they're falling apart, that you have it in your hands, that everything is yours and you hold it all together. And we depend on you, God. Let us not focus on the things that are outside of our control, but let's focus on the one who has always had the control, Lord, and that is you. So be with these students and adults as they go into their small group time, as they go from this place, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.